from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You know the Browns play right here tomorrow night on the Browns Radio Network, the final preseason game of the year, which we're still trying to figure out how the Browns ended up in Seattle, because Mary Kay Cabot said that at one point this game was supposed to be against Buffalo. You know who might have some insight on that? Super friend of the show, longtime friend of the show. He is Nick Shook. We call him the Shooky Cookie from his days at Kent State University. He calls NFL.com home right now. And right now, Nick is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. What is up, my friend? Hello, Nick.
What's happening, Nick?
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys. I have no insight on whether this game was going to be played against Buffalo or Seattle, but it is a little strange for
Why?
The Browns to be taking a West Coast trip for a preseason game.
It's really weird, isn't it? I don't ever remember. Yeah. I can't remember any kind of a preseason like this in my entire lifetime. Yeah,
I've never heard of this. I've always heard preseason going about as far as like Green Bay. Like that was always, it felt like the Browns would go to Green Bay, and that was about the end of it.
A lot of Buffalo.
Yeah. A lot of Buffalo. You know, a lot of
Detroit. Well, we lost the great Barge trophy, guys.
That's
you know,
true.
We don't get to see Detroit play Cleveland anymore. We lost the Barge. I was fortunate one time when I worked for the Browns to take a picture with the Barge,
Ooh.
The esteemed, coveted trophy.
Now that is framed above your mantle, correct?
You know, it's somewhere in a dark corner in the basement.
Kind of where the Barge is right now, probably propping open a door.
Where is the Barge? Do we know where it is right now?
It's propping up.
Well, there's copies of it. Each team has one. So the Browns have one in their facility somewhere.
I'm trying to remember. I think it used to be in the lobby when you walked in, but now I don't even think it's there anymore. I'm destined to find the Barge and bring it back. We need another team to play against to bring back the Barge to give this preseason game a little bit of meaning. No? Yeah.
I mean, what would the Browns and Seahawks play for? Billy Bass, you know, the talking fish.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then it says, or the loser gets it, though, and the fish would say, loser, would keep, remind them that they're a loser.
And then it has to randomly go off and scare the hell out of you.
That is weird. We had one. Did you have one?
Scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, it freaked me out. My dad had one in his office, and I was like, whoa, my God, what's going on here? This is insane. All right, speaking of insane, do you have any idea who's playing quarterback for the Browns tomorrow night? Do you think it's going to be Deshaun Watson, or do you think that they're going to say, you know what, let's just hold him out? What are your thoughts on that?
I have a strong feeling it will not be Deshaun Watson. If I had to put my life on it, I would say that it's not Deshaun Watson, that it'll be Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley and a little bit of DTR, even though reportedly they've been trying to move DTR because they've suddenly realized they have too many quarterbacks for their depth chart. I don't think it's going to be Deshaun, and that's going to cause a lot of consternation among Browns fans who would like to see him take reps before the start of the season. I understand he hasn't played in a live game since he got hurt last year in week 9. It's been a long time, but I don't think that he's going to end up taking the field.
Do you think he won't take the field due to general arm soreness or due to poor left tackle play? We're not 100% sure we feel good with who's out there.
I would say a combination of both, and really above all, I don't know if it's worth the risk. I mean, you're getting thrown right into the fire with a week 1 game against Dallas, but at the same time, I still think the value is more in keeping him on ice and prepared and ready for the regular season than a preseason game in which things could go poorly, because you know, they are preseason games, but as we've seen across the league and as we do every preseason, they're still live speed football, and things do happen that you don't want to happen. So I think it's probably more valuable to just keep them on ice.
How about the rest of these guys? Because, you know, Kevin had said, my starters need to be prepared to play. Should they be?
Yeah, they should be, because they haven't shown much offensively so far. Frankly, you know, the Ken Dorsey era is not off to a hot start. I know it's preseason. I know things are vanilla. I know they're trying things out, but this offense has lacked rhythm. It's lacked flow. You haven't seen a number of guys playing consistently because of either they're on PUP or they're veterans or whatever it is. So you need to get as many of them out there as possible, you know, despite what I just said about risk, just to get into a little bit of a rhythm. You don't need to play very much. You know, we used to look at week three as the dress rehearsal, and then they shortened the preseason to three games. Now week two is more the dress rehearsal. This is going to, I think it should be somewhere in between, but I don't know if they're actually going to do that. If it were me, I would like to see the starters out there for a little bit just to, you know, work up the lather, get a series or two, and then call it a day, just so you get a little bit of reps before you go into week one.
Nick Shook, NFL.com, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nick, I understand that we're trying to get some kind of a rhythm, and it's been a little on the clunkier side. What do you think is causing the clunkiness? Is it just getting used to terminology, getting used to where guys should be, or moving away in more option routes and choice routes, and quarterback is choosing one and a wide receiver is choosing another?
I honestly think it's just a bit of a lack of familiarity, and an offensive coordinator working with a new head coach, you know, not a new head coach, but a new head coach to him, and trying to get on the same page and just get into a flow. You know, the best play callers get into a good rhythm, whether it's a script or whatever it is, because they have years of experience and the familiarity with the offense. And there's been a lot of different faces in there. I mean, Jameis Winston wasn't here last year. Tyler Huntley wasn't here last year. Ken Dorsey wasn't here last year. And even Jerry Jeudy was not on this team last year. So you haven't seen some of those guys even play. But I just think it's a lack of rhythm and familiarity, and unfortunately, you would like to see them get that down the preseason. But again, the preseason is not really the testing ground for that so much. So I don't expect them to come out of the gates, you know, putting up a ton of points to start the year. You know, it's not going to be like the 2007 Browns or something like that out of nowhere. I do think it's going to be a bit of an adjustment, and I don't think it's as, you know, granular as, you know, guys choosing the wrong, you know, route or whatever is on an option route or something like that. I think it's in the grander scheme of things. I think it's just everybody getting on the same page.
One of the other conversations we had today was about Denzel Ward, and, you know, with Kevin saying concussion protocol rather than being in protocol yesterday, it kind of just hits home the number of concussions he's had. Any thoughts or insight on this? I just know that if Denzel's questioning whether he should be playing or not because of concussions, then I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about him maybe perhaps retiring. I know there's a lot of money still on the table. There's a lot of things going on there. Just your thoughts on Denzel and what he would mean if he didn't play for the Browns this season.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really unfortunate from a football perspective, but from a human perspective, I completely understand. And, you know, look, there's been a lot of advancements in helmet technology that have been made over the last decade. I mean, even since I stopped playing. I mean, back when I was playing, which I'm not that old, but, you know, back in my glory days, I was still in the, you know, knocking the cobwebs out, getting your bell rung era. And we were just starting to really care about head trauma and focusing on that and giving you the ample amount of time to, you know, properly recover before returning to the field. But we can't, you know, deny the long-term impacts of repeated head trauma. And Denzel's had a ton of concussions in his career. He's been a great player, but it's been a consistent theme throughout his career. So if, you know, he had kind of like a Troy Aikman thing where it's like, hey, man, I'm getting the crap kind of beaten out of me. I need to worry about my long-term health. You know, I understand why he would consider that. It's unfortunate because he's young, he's in the prime of his career, and he's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. But look, man, you got the rest of your life to live, so I totally understand. And, you know, credit to Andrew Berry for stocking this defensive secondary well enough that if they had to, you know, they could sustain a loss like a Denzel Ward if he didn't play. You would love to see him on the field, especially for the Browns' outlook this season. But again, from a human perspective, I totally understand if that, you know, if he decided to not play.
All right, Nick, so you've got an eye not only on the Browns, but the entire NFL. And so I want to move to Cincinnati a little bit. Joe Burrow coming off a different kind of wrist injury that we've really never seen in a quarterback as well. How's Burrow progressing through camp, and is he another one that might play in week three?
Yeah, he seems fine. I don't know if I would see him tested in week three either, but health has been the number one concern for him throughout his career. I mean, we had the ACL injury as a rookie. He had the two injuries he dealt with last year, the one that left him immobile for the first month of the season, and the one that ended the season being the wrist injury. And, you know, of course, it's on his throwing hand, so you're a little concerned about that. But I don't think that it's really worth any risk to get him out there. You see enough in practice, and especially in joint practices, to get your fill on whether he'll be prepared or not. You know, most of the offseason talk and the camp talk has been about his hair and his fashion choices, which is perfectly fine for me because the football doesn't matter right now, but in 2 weeks it's going to matter, and he better be prepared and healthy and ready to go at that point. So you got to do whatever you can to get him prepared, and it's not really worth rolling him out there. I sound like somebody's just like, don't play anybody, but at the same time, you know, the key guys, you got to keep them, you know, healthy and prepared for the games that actually do count.
All right, well, one guy will play is Russell Wilson for the Steelers against Detroit. Your thoughts on, you know, on that quarterback battle, and is this Wilson's? Is it done? I mean, Mike Tomlin's making it sound like, you know, he set his depth chart and he's going to stick with it.
Yeah, so this has been my favorite topic, I think, in the NFL this past week or so, because, you know, a lot of people will turn on NFL Network and catch a little bit of a preseason game. They'll flip it on in the third quarter and not recognize anybody on the field, turn it off and go do something else, right?
Right.
Well, for me, I'm sitting there through the final play of every preseason game, and I sat through every play of Russell Wilson's week two preseason outing, and the first thing I learned was this patchwork and very young offensive line is not fully prepared to take a defensive starters, because the Bills played most of their starters on defense in that game, and actually handle them. Russell Wilson had very little time to throw. Most of the yards of the game were checkdowns. He held onto the ball too long, which is very typical of him, especially at this stage in his career. But it wasn't a complete look at who he could be in that offense. And then, you know, folks who basically just scan the box score and check the highlights, we're all talking about Justin Fields is going to win the job. And then Fields says, you know, I've proven myself and it's up to the coaches now. I think that's a little hyperbolic, because if you actually watch that game on a play-by-play basis, Justin Fields was not very good. He had some glimpses. He had some moments where his playmaking ability shined, you know, and outshined his errors. But there was also a read option on a fourth down play deep in the red zone where he made the wrong read and ran into a wall of Bills defenders and turned the ball over. There was a play where he missed a receiver down the seam who was wide open for a touchdown because he threw it over his head. There was one play where he broke a sack, threw it into coverage, got tipped, and then off the deflection was caught by a teammate for a first down. Like, you got everything in this game, good and bad, and none of it was strong enough for me to think that Justin Fields has a realistic shot to unseat Russell Wilson going into the regular season. Having said that, I do still want to see a little bit more from Russell Wilson before we hit week one, because, you know, these are two new quarterbacks, the new system, new offensive coordinator, new team. And so far, they haven't shown me really much of anything that makes me think they're going to hit week one, you know, running. You know, they're not going to hit the ground running. They're going to have some issues, which is exactly what they were trying to move on from after getting rid of Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and Mitch Trubisky last year. So it's not pretty right now. I don't think it's really panning out the way Steelers fans wanted, but it is early. I don't feel great about it. Personally, I don't feel great about, you know, Russell's outlook long-term, because I do think he's kind of washed anyway, but don't let me say that too loudly. But I also don't feel encouraged that Justin Fields is going to take the strides necessary to win a job, whether it's in the middle of the season or in the future. So it's a situation we should continue to monitor and watch closely, but right now, not on stable footing in Pittsburgh.
Well, and it was kind of round peg square hole to begin with, you know, when it came to these guys and Arthur Smith. Like, there's no part of Arthur Smith's system that ever fit Russell Wilson. Like, there was no part of Arthur Smith's system that really did well with Justin Field. I mean, he is a point and shoot quarterback where everything goes off of the, you know, everything goes off of the run game. And then he's playing the play caller. Arthur Smith plays quarterback in that system. And those are two guys who don't operate in that manner. Like, it never made sense to pair all of this together to begin with, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're trying to incorporate more Fields as a runner, which is what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts a couple of years ago, and actually turn them into, you know, an afterthought into an NFC title contender and Super Bowl, you know, they made a Super Bowl with that type of offense. Unless you're doing that, yeah, I don't think you're capitalizing on Fields' talents. And unless you want to, like, smash Russell Wilson into the same box that Ryan Tannehill once occupied with the Titans and Arthur Smith back in the day, then yeah, you're kind of on the same ground there. So I don't disagree. I don't entirely agree, just because I think that they could actually, you know, find a way to make it work if this offensive line would block well, because Arthur Smith loves to run the football. And they got two studs back there, and Najee Harris and then Jalen Warren, who, you know, is dealing with an injury now that he suffered in that preseason game. Played a grand total of one carry in that game before he exited with an injury. So that's something to continue to monitor with them. But yeah, it seems like fit is not quite, you know, perfect so far. And again, it's going to depend both on the offensive line and the quarterback. And I think regardless of quarterback, it's really going to matter with the offensive line. And because they're so young and they've invested so much in the last couple of years, they're just not on solid footing there either. So it's going to be a work in progress for sure.
All right, Nick Shook, the Nick Shook on X right now, NFL.com writer. What else you got cooking? Anything good? What are we looking for out of you next?
We're looking at some camp rankings that'll roll out next week. We got QB Index firing it back up, the column that dominates my life from September to February. That'll be back in about a week or so. Of course, NFL Daily, you can catch me on there with Greg Rosenthal. We'll be doing week three preseason takeaways. It'll be available to listen to on Monday. And then we'll be doing post-game stuff all season. Sunday night, big show. Monday night show. You can find those on all your favorite podcast platforms. And also, if you want to follow me individually, you can also check out the Gridiron Podcast, where we talk about football and Formula One. F1's back from their summer break this week. They're doing practice in the Netherlands. Actually, they just finished it up about an hour ago. And if you're into video games, you can watch me play Madden and College Football 25 on Twitch as well. So I'm everywhere all the time, and I rarely ever sleep.
Who says you can't get a job after you graduate from Kent State, right, my friend? You have like 50 of them.
Get your plugs in, baby. That's what we're for.
Yes, you have like 50 of them.
Can't read, can't write, can't tell anybody no. That's what I do.
Fair enough, Nick. We're cut from the same cloth. Go Flashes, my friend.
Go Flashes indeed. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later. He is Nick Shook, the Nick Shook on X, and all those things that he talked about. If you want to catch up with him, you can find out everything because he's got links to all that stuff going on right there, too. So, and, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, are you ready for some college football this weekend? In Dublin, the Dublin, not Dublin, Ohio, the real Dublin, at where are they playing? Aviva Stadium.
Yeah, the big old stadium.
Aviva Stadium. You will have on ESPN tomorrow at noon, number 10 Florida State against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, the home team, of course.
Games that matter. What a beautiful thing.
There are three. Oh. There are three other games tomorrow on the docket. If you're looking to spend your day watching a game, then watching another game, then watching another game, and then watching another game after that. Montana State, the Bobcats take on New Mexico, SMU and Nevada, Delaware State and Hawaii.
People buying a little SMU stock this year, too, thinking that they might make a bit of a leap.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the Bobcats? That's a big game. They're heading down to University Stadium in Albuquerque.
I'll have to trust you on that one.
You will? Montana State's been playing pretty well lately. It's not like
No. That's not meant to be an insult. That's
it's not like the dog days of when Cliff Heisel was there. But not that anyone cares or anyone even knows who Cliff Heisel
was. I'm a little over my skis on that
coach.
One.
So.
Though all I can tell you about Montana State, is that Missoula? Was Missoula Montana State or was
that
Montana?
That's blasphemy, man. Okay. That's like saying Ohio State's in Ann Arbor. No.
I'm a man looking
Montana
to be educated.
Montana is in Missoula. Montana State is in Bozeman.
Okay, because all I know is Pearl Jam was in Missoula last night.
Oh, they were?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So where'd
they play? Dahlberg? Are they inside or outside?
I just saw the set list.
They'd have to play. Yeah, they'd have to play.
Okay, let's get back to college football.
Yeah. All right, so Ohio State will open with Akron, but that's not this weekend. I said something to Brian Anderson. We were talking to him earlier today. If you missed any of that interview, you know where it is. It's on the Odyssey app. And you can catch it on the Baskin and Phelps podcast. But I think I believe that there's some renewed hope and some, good feeling for a lot of college football teams that don't feel like if they lose one game, their season's over. That, 12 teams are going to make the playoffs. And even if you're not one of the teams that get the bye of the first four, if you're 4-8, you're going to get yourself a home game, which is okay.
I think there is going to be a resetting of college football to the likes that all of us are going to have a very hard time with. I think we are all going to, we've all had one mindset. And especially when we've looked at college football, which was, oh my God, don't lose, don't lose, don't lose, don't lose. And then when you lost, it would immediately would turn into, okay, these three teams also need to lose. And so you would watch those waiting for them to happen. So then that way you could find your way into a playoff in the same way that, like, you know, back in the day when we didn't have a real champion outside of what the computer would spit out for us. Okay, come on, stay, you know, stay in, stay in, stay in so that you can make the Rose Bowl. Now it's a completely different animal. I mean, now you can, Ohio State fans, you can lose to Michigan and you're not done. You know, you can lose to Michigan and it's not the end of the world because what's, you know, we're going to have to recalibrate our brains into what's more important, beating Michigan or winning a national championship, because now the door remains open for everybody.
Well, I think it's interesting to look at, let's just say just for giggles, right, that you take the top 12 teams from the AP poll going into this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so into week zero. So Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas would all have a bye.
Yep.
Okay, so all four of those teams would get to sit back and watch, and they are going to play it by, like, there's no seeding difference here. So 12 then plays 5, right? So then you would open up the playoffs with Alabama against Utah, Utah at Alabama. Then you would have Missouri at Ole Miss.
That'd be fun.
That'd be interesting.
Ole Miss might be pretty good.
Lane
Kiffin's got some stuff going on.
Notre Dame would host Florida State, and then Michigan and Penn State would play again.
Could you imagine? We're going to have
8 and 9.
If this plays out, you're going to have a December game where Florida State is going
to
have to come up to South Bend, Indiana. Like, sign me up. Why have we not been doing this for years? This is awesome. This is what you want. You want these teams to have to go in to these home stadiums where it's going to be raucous, going absolutely berserk.
We say it, though, because we're up north, right? We're excited about it. But if you're an SEC team, you're kind of like, oh, well, I guess we'll have to go up north.
Oh, no, they're sitting there going, oh, they got to come to us. Like, if you're, you know, let's say, we'll see how this ends up playing out. Mm-hmm. But if you're Alabama, and for some reason, Wisconsin has to come to Alabama. Come on. I mean, that's going to be outstanding. You got to think that whole fan base, you're not going to get a, you'll get some of that fan base that'll find its way down to Bama.
I like the thought of, like, Notre Dame having to go to Utah.
Yeah. Like, that stuff is awesome. That's what you're signing up for. That's what you want in all of this. And so we're all going to have to reprogram our brains that the team that you root for, if you lose one game, it's not the end of the world. If you lose two games,
so let me ask you this. Ohio State loses to Michigan this year. Ryan Day out on a regular season loss?
Heck
no. And by the way, Ohio State could end up playing Michigan again, right? Well, they can't play in the Big Ten Championship, but they could end up playing again in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Could play again in the national championship.
Now that... they could, but we also know that this is going to come down to a committee, and we all know how this committee is going to operate.
Well, it just depends on how they look at the brackets.
Uh-huh.
But it's all how you end up seeding anyway. So
exactly.
What's, you know.
So you can finagle those brackets to make things however you want. So if you want Ohio State, Michigan in the first round as a home game for one of those two teams again, you can do it. If you
you can also save it later. I mean, so look at the current current AP poll, right? So Penn State's 8, Michigan's 9. They would play each other, right? Is that right? 12, 5, 4, 3. Yeah, yeah. So Penn State and Michigan. What?
I said I hope Drew Aller makes a leap this year, too.
Oh, I do,
too. They got a little more talent around
them.
Yeah. You got to root for the local guy.
But so let's – you wouldn't want it, though, so that if the seedings worked out, that the winner of Penn State and Michigan would play Ohio State. So then you just extended the Big Ten season again by 2 weeks.
And you, again, we're talking
in a bowl
about
game too. Right?
We're talking about a committee that's going to put this together, and they're going to put the rankings together and all that stuff. So it's very, very easy for them to go, all right, Penn State, you're 8. You know, instead of being 7 and give you some horse hockey reason why that's the case. And we'll all go, yeah, we know. It's because you didn't want to have the Big Ten just go up against each other again. Like, they can
a chance where you could see your own conference for 3 weeks in a row.
There's a shot. I don't
think
it'll happen.
Let's just say Missouri. Missouri could end up playing Alabama and then maybe Georgia. I don't know. That'd be. I hope that some or Ole Miss. I don't know. But I do think it makes it exciting. It's not just about you've got to win every game during the regular season. You know, Urban Meyer was was kind of crushing Ohio State for the schedule they have, saying that they just don't really play anybody. Could be kind of right, especially knowing how good the team is. You know, when you're sitting there on, what, four preseason All-Americans already? I mean, there's...
I mean, these schedules are made so many years ahead of time that, like...
Yeah, but it's easy to change some of the... I mean, you could always buy... Not that I want them to, but to buy out the Akron game. I like the fact that Akron plays Ohio State because I think that's good for Akron because they get a nice big check of all that money that just stays in the state. You know?
Absolutely.
They get their gate money from Ohio State, and maybe they fund the whole program for the whole year.
And you're going to run into these things. I mean, that's the essence of college football. And it's part of the reason why I think we're going to end up with some of that getting extended too, because you know this is a gargantuan cash grab. And so they're not going to get rid of those games. They'll just add on more games. I mean, that's where all of this stuff is going to head.
I can't see it going past. Like, I think 16 is perfect.
16 is great.
Yeah, I can't see. And I understand why they're doing 12. I'm good with it. I've seen 16 work. And even though they've made changes to 1AA and you know, whether FCS, FBF, whatever. But it's just, I've seen the 16-team format, and I love that. It's perfect. It's just like 4, 8, you know?
More teams equals more variance. I mean, that's the selling point of this, is you get more teams in there.
Now, here's my concern.
You get more Cinderellas.
Here's my concern, okay? Are the first-round games going to be blowouts? Maybe if it was 16, your odds of blowouts are like
yes,
way greater.
16,
but
you would run
the fact into. That, and because I know we had this conversation before the show, the fact that the top four seeds get byes in this, your odds of having much better football games during the first couple weeks, especially ratings wise, it's going to be really weird to see you got college football playoffs going up against the NFL, and I wonder how the ratings are going to shake out on some of that stuff. And then we'll see when they play some of these games. And if college NFL's not going to bend, but college football might have to bend on the days they're playing.
Well, and they maybe should look into bending a little bit on this stuff because, I mean, this is mutually beneficial to everybody. Why would the NFL want to split its audience? Why would college football want to split its audience? Like, there's always been this, like, partnership kind of thing that, like, okay, you're somewhat our feeder system.
You mean free minor league partnership? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And so there's a part of me that thinks we're going to end up with, like, the NFL going, okay, we won't have games on Saturday these weeks because we'll let the college football playoff have their games. So then that way when we pull our Sunday numbers, they're going to be stupid huge instead of just huge. Like, they would rather be in a position where you don't have Alabama fans going, okay, do I need to watch the Cowboys or do I need to watch the Crimson Tide? Or Ohio State fans going, do I need to watch the Browns / Bengals or do I need to watch the Buckeyes? Like, you don't want to do that. You want to have massive numbers. So if you're the NFL, you should probably look at this and go, all right, guys, like, I know we've been doing Saturdays and this part of it and whatever. We'll lay off these two Saturdays. Let's start the Saturday games maybe a little bit later on. We'll play the Sunday games here. And then that way everybody pulls a monster number.
NFL doesn't care. They're going to do whatever they want.
If it hits their pocketbooks, they will. If those numbers start going down, they will. If they get outgained by a college game, I think they will.
Hmm. Are you excited for the new look of college football too? That's another part of it. Because college football has changed over the last 4 years. It's just not the same. I mean, I don't know. You look at Colorado. You look at the transfer portal. You look at NIL. You look at the new playoff system. You look at everything that's going on. You know, the ending of the Pac-12. There's so many different stories. Like, whoever would have thought that Washington would be in the Big Ten? 216-474-0092. You like the way we're going with this, college football fans? Let us know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.